All of the podcasts here at the Sideshow Network are now with a touch of a button on your iPhone and iPad. With the new Sideshow Network app, tune into all your favorite podcasts here at the Sideshow Network. Go to iTunes App Store, search for Sideshow Network, and download our free app to stream all of your favorite Sideshow Network podcasts at any time you want. The top comedians in the world are at your fingertips with the Sideshow Network app for iPhone and iPad.
Guys, Sean, stepping on my intro. Can you believe that? After waiting a full 5 minutes, he jumped right in there. All right, Fraser Smith here, along with Joe Bartnick, and our special guest, Nate Craig. Guys, here he is.
Yeah, we love Nate Craig, man.
Skating onto the ice.
Nate Craig. Nate Craig is a
welcome to Puck Off.
That's
welcome
me,
to
that's Puck me Off. That's me clapping for myself.
Yeah, well,
right.
the studio audience has not been brought in yet.
They'll be here any minute now.
Any minute now, we're bringing
the
studio audience
in. Trying to figure out the parking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. He made it easily, Nate. That's a big step here in the guest star here.
It really is.
Yeah. It's
so
always...
many of our guest stars have been lost for at least a week.
I've been here before.
Oh, you know.
Not the studio. I've been to Levity, but I hope I didn't park in somebody's parking spot. You're making me think.
No. If you parked underneath, you're cool. As Sean gets worried now.
Yeah. Sean's already nervous.
Yeah. He's already nervous. He's like, what's going on? Big weekend. Unfortunately, none of us went to the outdoor game. I was working. I don't know what our captain's excuse was.
Well, my excuse was the flu.
Okay. Well, that's a good one.
And I didn't want to infect all of Dodger Stadium.
No, it would have been like the terrorist attack.
But you know what? Watching it on TV, it was really good because you could see everything. And apparently that was the only real complaint was that the line of sight for the lower seats wasn't that good. But everything else people seemed
at the game.
Yeah.
I think it always is. I mean, actually, except for the couple snow games, the Crosby snow game, the first one, this year's snow game, the beautiful aesthetics of it, I thought the Dodger game was the easiest to watch on television. I thought the sight lines for television were the easiest to see the puck.
Right.
Maybe that's just me. Let's bring in our esteemed Nate Craig.
Totally agree. Unless they're going to put the rink in like left field or an end zone where it's right up on some of the seats, and then the other seats are all the way screwed, you're watching a puppet show unless you're up 20 rows or more.
Yeah, that's probably true.
You got to be up there looking down.
Right. And I didn't want to knock this game before it happened because I'm glad it like sold out and was packed and was a great event. But usually the games in baseball stadiums are the hardest to see. Like they're usually just the way that stadiums are shaped.
Yeah.
You know, they've come out the worst of the, but I guess this one worked.
Well, having
great.
The lower seats isn't necessarily better. In fact, when Kiss was playing Deuce, that's how much the seats were costing the bleachers. $250.
Yeah, people were complaining about Kiss too. It's like it's just for fun.
It's Kiss.
Yeah, it's Kiss, exactly. There's more fake makeup in the seats than there is on Kiss.
Right. I would like to see Quick have that the axe guitar though, instead of a stick.
Oh, really? That'd have been neat. Maybe he would have stopped a couple more.
Goals against off the charts with that guitar.
He's a little slacking a little bit. You know, Scrivens was number one star.
Man, they never should have gotten rid of the professor.
That's our
that's my boy.
That was our show's favorite king.
You know, he's number four in goals against.
Yeah, well, the Kings had – you know, what's funny is, like, they kind of got rid of him for nothing.
He's
either.
Only played three games. But still.
Pre-show we were talking. It's a big topic.
Doesn't meet the league.
Around L.A., as much as people in hockey don't want to admit it, the Kings are a big topic around L.A.
Yeah.
And they need to make some trades. They need some scoring, don't they? They do. I mean, we talked about this right before, no one's heard it yet. But they got Fratton. I mean, they traded Bernier. And, you know, great goaltender, great backup, who's done pretty good in Toronto. I thought he'd do a little better. But they got Matt Fratton back for him. And Fratton's a skirt. And he can't score. And, you know, Sutter keeps putting him out there. And
what's the solution? What do you do?
You got to make some trades. I mean, they need to trade.
Who would you go after?
Who would I go after?
You know everybody in the league. Who would you go after?
It's funny. I would go after the same guys I would go after for the Penguins. I'd go after Matt Molson. The Buffalo Sabres. Uh-huh. He'd be the first guy to go after. I might even go after Vanek. I don't think they're going to trade Vanek from the Islanders, though.
And who would you have to give up to get?
I think that's, you know, I think the Kings are in the same situation the Penguins are. We'll get into the Penguins in a second because Nate professes to be a secondary Penguin fan, which, of course, we can't wait to talk about the Penguins forever.
I don't want to say Nate's a front runner, but his two teams are the Blackhawks and the Pens.
He is from Chicago, though, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
So he's allowed. He's allowed.
Well, from Wisconsin, and the Blackhawks were always my team.
And everyone's allowed to love the Penguins forever.
I was a kid. I went to see the Blackhawks play the Russians at Chicago Stadium.
Did you really?
And it was sold. I was never to look back, Blackhawks fan. But also, Badger Bob Johnson coached the Penguins for the 91-92 championships.
Yeah.
It's a great day
for hockey.
Yeah, he won four or five national championships at Wisconsin and built the program to what it is. And Wisconsin is pretty much the pro team in the state.
Yeah. An incredible hockey.
Yeah, I mean, they're like a top five program, so... there's a lot of Penguin fans in Wisconsin just because of Bob Johnson.
Now, what happened in that Russian game? Was that fun to watch?
It was great. Fedorov, Hasek. That was like, I remember going with, I went with my dad, and I went with my dad was a high school music teacher, and one of his students was on the hockey team, and I was just learning how to play hockey. So it was like a trip, and, you know, the guy was teaching me how to skate. So it was like a cool trip with him and my dad, and he was giving me the lowdown on all the players, and Fedorov was just about to be the best player in the world. And so it was like, this is like 90. This is like 90.
Yeah, this is like 90, because in like 91, he was already like a
Red Army team.
He was already like a Red Wing in like 91.
Yeah, it was like 89, 90. The Russians did. They won like 4-2, and it was fantastic. They were just loaded. They were loaded. I mean, I wish I could look at the roster from that team.
Trechak and Goller?
No. Not Vladislav Tretiak. No, it was Dominik Hasek.
Oh, Hasek, of course.
Yeah, Dominik Hasek was in
Trechiak
goal.
Was like 30 years ago.
Yeah. Trechiak was there. He played in Lake Placid, yeah.
Yeah.
Hasek is actually became a backup with the Chicago Blackhawks.
They
actually came in for mop-up duty against the Penguins in the 92 Stanley Cup Finals.
Yeah, they did draft him.
Correct. Yeah.
Wow, that must have been a good game. A good one to watch.
It was good. The most memorable part of it was the national anthem at Chicago Stadium. It got loud in there. I've never heard a stadium.
Did it turn into an ugly game?
No. It was an exhibition.
The exhibition games, when they used to come and play the Flyers, I mean, they're the Flyers.
Well, the
they used
Flyers.
To go break people's... go.
Remember, they pulled him off the ice.
Yeah, exactly. They've been known to break sticks and legs. Yeah.
And him cross-checked Karmeloff.
Yeah.
We're leaving.
And then who was the coach? Keenan was the coach of the Blackhawks then?
That sounds about right. It's right before he went to the Rangers, right?
Right. Well, he coached them in 92 when they were.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. No, that sounds about right. And then, you know, there was like.
It was pre-Roenick. It was right pre-Roenick.
I think Jeremy Roenick might have been on the team.
Oh, really?
It was definitely Dirk Graham.
Dirk was the captain for sure. And he said they had Larmer and all those cats,
Steve
right?
Larmer. I can't remember if Dennis Savard was on that roster. I was a kid.
Right. Well, Danny Savard got traded for Chelios. So he was one or the other. You either got to see Chelios or you got to see Savard.
Right. I think it was Chris Chelios.
Wow. How do you know everything? Now.
we're just chatting.
I'm a steel trap.
He's a machine.
I love my hockey.
Now we have the.
Well, here's a funny aside. My daughter forgot her lunch for school on Friday, and I went and brought it to her. And the lady was like, "So what's her teacher's name?" And it was like. Why didn't you ask me who the Stars' third line checking center is?
It would have been an easier question. I thought you were going to start naming every teacher in the school.
No.
And like, I think we trade that math guy for.
Yeah. Getting back to
the Olympics, though. The Olympics are coming up with the Russians.
I know.
And Canadians. And I don't know. Who do you think is going to win that?
Nothing is better than Olympic hockey.
It's the greatest.
That is so fun to watch every time. I don't even know who's on on Team USA.
Are you happy, though? Are you happy that it interrupts the season, though?
The Olympics, to me, is better than the NHL. When it happens, so yeah, I don't care when the Olympics interrupts the NHL season, I'm fine with it. And that's being a Blackhawks fan in the middle of a dynasty.
Yeah,
like, yeah. Well, that's huge.
I'm okay with it. I think the Olympics is the best. Was there anything better than USA Canada in Vancouver overtime?
Awesome
I mean,
game.
Come on, what is better than that?
Nothing.
I don't know what's better than that.
No, that was. Awesome.
I mean, as a Blackhawks fan, the Blackhawks winning a Stanley Cup is better than that for me. But for hockey in general. Oak around the world, there's nothing BC.
That was pretty impressive.
Well, Nate, I'm not the whatever says in the world that you are.
The look on your face is telling me you disagree with me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad everyone's happy for hockey. I'm a selfish prick, and to me, winning the cup is way more important than anything.
Yeah, but Crosby scored the winning goal for Canada.
Oh, I know, and I was very happy. That's kind of the thing with me. There's no, for the Penguins fan, and I'm sure if you break down the Blackhawks, who goes where, you know, if Russia wins, then Sid's you know, ostracizing Canada, but Malkin's a hero. In Russia. If Canada wins, then, you know, then Malkin's ostracized and Sid's a hero. Then we still have my coach still looks like shit because he's the American coach.
I mean, but then the season picks up and nobody cares. Just like nobody cared that the Blackhawks won in a shortened season. Nobody cared about that. It's still a tournament at the end of the year. It's still a hockey tournament. For some reason, it lose anything to me.
Me either.
I'm a little nervous for everybody for the terrorism, but I will love it. I'll watch every second of it. I just wish they did it what they did in the 90s, where they played the thing called the World Cup of Hockey, and all the pros played in the summer. It didn't interrupt anything.
Right.
And then you still get the kids.
You get the kids to play.
They get the kids to play. Because,
nice.
I mean, to me, because the Penguins wore blue and I liked hockey. But then when in 1980, the Miracle on Ice, that's like when hockey kicked in for me that it's like this.
Yeah, but then the players miss their golf and drinking Molson. During the summer, they take off, man. They don't want to be playing.
Right. Well, then it shows you who wants to give it up for their country. Right? Now it's like, you know.
But don't the Russians play year-round?
Well, everyone kind of. Well, I mean, not the Russian, not Ovechkin and Malkin. They go on vacation for the whole summer. Okay. Not like these. I mean, maybe probably the 12-year-olds do,
right?
But not the pro guys.
Joe, that's a great point. I do. It was pretty great watching amateurs play. You know.
Yeah, does Sid need any more?
And they're probably not going to be amateurs.
Does Taze need any more in his plate? Like, do these guys really need any more?
Right.
You know. I mean, let the kids play. I think about it. We talked about this last week, but Ruzioni, you know, he never played another competitive game of hockey in his life after he
won. Right, right.
You know, that's just something nice about that.
Bob Suter, he's from the Suter family from Madison. Like, he's, you know, that's, you know, he's almost as famous as his brother. His brother played over 10 years in the league, you know, like.
Oh, and now his kid is one of the top five defensemen in the league.
Right, right.
A lot of good players come out of Wisconsin, don't they?
Yeah.
Badger Bob.
It's not, you know, it's not.
Did you play high school hockey there?
I did, yeah. I played at Madison West High School.
Did you? And how was your team?
We were good. We were good. My buddy Alex played in the league. He played a season and a half up for the Devils. Played in Lowell, Massachusetts. Played in Finland, I think. And now he's a scout for the Blackhawks.
Wow.
Really great hockey player. Great athlete. And, you know, I had a couple other buddies. My buddy Eric got drafted. My buddy Brad Winchester, he played.
Whoa.
Yeah, Brad Winchester is from Madison. He was he went to my high school. He was a freshman when I was a freshman in college. But I skated with them at all the captain's ice skates and stuff. And then who else got drafted from Madison? I think Phil Kessel's from Madison. But he just was a touring player.
Yeah, like. He went to one of those like
the first
super high schools.
He was the first American-born player to get a scholarship from Minnesota.
Now, did you
That wasn't from Minnesota.
He's from Wisconsin. That's a big deal.
Did you guys play the Minnesota schools?
We played Shattuck's Academy once. I think we played a couple Minnesota.
No, Frage. That's the real deal. That's like where Sidney went. That's where Crosby.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, that's like playing. You know, I don't even know who to.
The one I always hear? Edina.
Edina, Minnesota. Yeah, that's like the wealthy suburb outside of Minneapolis. That's
they
like,
always
that's like
the
where
teams.
The Vikings players live.
But like Shattuck St. Mary's. I mean, that's like you always hear on like they always talk about the players that went there. I mean, they recruit like from Canada. Like Crosby went there. Zach Parise went there.
Uh-huh.
Like everyone from around the world goes there if they want to be in high school.
Is that
and
your
still
top
play
high
hockey.
School team?
I don't know if it's the top in the country, but it's like they recruit from around the world to go there because if you want to go to high school, because if not, you can just go play juniors.
Right.
When you're Sid's age, I mean, when you're like 15.
I don't know if they could beat the Van Nuys Wolves. Those guys are
powerhouse. Powerhouse in the valley.
Come on, man. Well, you know, that's the thing I was reading in the paper today about the – I know I'm going backwards here.
No, please.
About the Dodger Stadium game was that the Canadian sports writers came down expecting to kind of knock it. And they got down here, and they were blown away. You know, to sit out there in that kind of weather, they had a great time, man.
Good.
Yeah.
It looked good. All the bumps looked good with the palm trees, everything. It all looked good.
When that beach volleyball came bouncing out of the rink during the game, that was a little weird. But
did that happen?
Yeah. They had to stop play. I was actually I was reading a thing about the one that criticism they had in the Devils Rangers game was the glare coming off the ice was weird.
Well, they had this. They had to start it later. Yeah, they started later. They waited like an hour or two later. I don't know how long exactly.
I had it TiVo'd.
Yeah, well, you hit you right in the face. You can't see it. Wow. It's I mean, hockey's a dangerous game.
Scrivens would be there with his mask.
Yeah, his mask. I like the aesthetics of the Jersey game because I got to see Jágr wearing the New Jersey Devil Christmas outfits.
Yeah,
I love that. But some people don't like the Christmas or don't like the third jerseys.
Nate was saying that he didn't like the jerseys.
That was my problem with that game. I don't know how anytime the NHL has a chance to showcase just everything good about the league, something will be wrong, and I don't understand how on earth Anaheim decided to wear orange in that game, but it was horrible. I just didn't like the way they looked like made up teams. It looked like any given Sunday for hockey. Like they might as well have been wearing turquoise. What are you doing in orange? Everybody's watching.
Oh, yeah, and that's not retro. That they never had jerseys.
They
never had.
They were orange every now and then, though. But it, literally, that game looked like whenever your video game doesn't have the rights to the league. You know what I mean? Like, oh, the orange team from Anaheim versus the blue team,
Blades of Steel.
Yeah. It was cool looking at. It was totally cool. Having Gretzky drop the puck though,
love that.
That was pretty sweet.
Love that.
I met Wayne Gretzky. My buddy, my roommate Chris Fairbanks did Conan Thursday night. Wayne Gretzky was on the show.
Gretzky.
Wayne Gretzky.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I tried hard. I couldn't super fan him really. I mean, I didn't want to, but I just was like, hey Wayne, how you doing? He's like, hey, how you doing?
He's a nice guy. I've met him before.
Yeah, I mean,
he's a really nice guy.
Yeah, yeah. His kid was there.
He looked good. He looked classy at that thing.
Yes, he did. He looked good.
He's executive Wayne Gretzky now.
Yeah.
He didn't look, I mean, well, I guess if anyone coaches the Coyotes, he didn't look beleaguered.
Well, no.
Like he always looked bad behind their bench, didn't he? Yeah, he always looked beleaguered.
He kept looking at his watch.
Like, he's trying to call that bet in.
Yeah. Come on, Janet, get on that.
Yeah. Call up Toshé.
Yeah, call up Crockett.
Keeping an eye on his daughter's Instagram page.
Yeah. Now, you know, the other guy that looked good was Luke Robitaille. Luke was there. They had him on TV. You know, he was doing they had a little target practice thing.
So, oh, okay, yeah.
He was helping out the news reporters.
Yeah, Luke always looks – I mean, we talked about that last week, though. Luke was
a class act.
I mean, yeah. But he always looks – and he always looks good.
And the chicks dig him. And
but he's never coached Phoenix either, so he never put those wrinkles on his face.
There's no reason to look beleaguered.
No.
I always liked that era of Kings. That King team was really cool. That whole team,
fun to watch.
Yeah, and that's what makes it even. That's how now they have so many fans. You know, but that's like getting back to like the Penguins of the '90s, early '90s. That's why now they have 30 years of fans. Just like you know the Kings fans of that era. Now they have like 20 years to grow and teach their kids. Like I'm bringing my kid to the Penguin Kings game Thursday night.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
Her first hockey game ever. So, and it's like, usually when me and like Burr or Court go, we sit in the $40 seats or $60 seats, good right in the middle.
Did you already get her all the gear?
Oh, she already has a Crosby jersey and
nice.
Hat. Right. Of course.
Yeah, what's cool though, she wanted the pink one, you know, and we're like in every sports store in Pittsburgh. Like, you always see people on TV with the pink ones, right. The girls, and they were all out, so she has to have a real one. I'm like, thank God, I don't want to have the pink one.
Too bad.
But the funny thing is that we're going to, we sit, you know, good seat stub hub up top. But in the middle, you see everything. And I'm like, you want to sit up top? You can see everything. You want to sit, you know, down by the ice. You can, I want to sit by the ice. So
nice.
And her mom
good
does
for
it.
Her.
Yeah. And I'm telling my wife, like, well, you want to go? So how much are tickets? Well, they're 170. She's like, oh, that's too much. She goes, why didn't you sit up top? I go, well, let me ask your daughter. And I'm like, we can bring mommy and sit up top, or we can sit down low and see. I want to sit down low.
I like it. I like it.
It'll be fun. But, you know, that's how you teach your – teach your kids the game.
No, that's great that she's going. You know, I always ask this dumb question, but do you think the Kings of Gretzky's era, you know, with Luke and everybody could skate with the Kings of today? I mean, how would that...
Definitely.
I think so,
the
right?
The only difference in the game between now and 20 years ago is equipment.
Uh-huh.
That's the only difference. I mean, there's the flow of the game has changed. I mean, they went through the whole like neutral zone trap era where the Devils dominated people 2-1 every game.
Ugh.
But like
the dead puck era.
If you gave the 1987-88 Kings the best skates in the world today with composite sticks that are feather lighted and weighted perfectly, they'd be the same team.
I don't know. I beg to differ a little bit on this point.
You think the athleticism has changed?
They're definitely faster now. But I'll take Gretzky Gretzky and Curry's hands today.
Well, I think
it's like
passes,
Lemieux could still run a power play. Great skill was great skill, but the Kings today, I mean, they're one of the biggest teams in the NHL.
They're big.
I mean, they would just leave. I mean, you know, I mean, I don't think they could win a playoff. I think they could win a game. I don't think they could win a playoff series against the Kings today.
I don't know, man, because I'll tell you what, they had more scorers. And their goaltending was great.
Right, but you're talking about just third line guys like Jared Staal that could just run Luke Robitaille through the wall.
Yeah, but Luke Robitaille could score.
Luke Robitaille was filled. You give Luke Robitaille the nicest, finest pieces of equipment that any player has ever played with. He'll score just as many goals on anybody. It doesn't matter.
Wait, you're talking about them playing like from 88 to today. I thought you were asking if those guys could still play a game today.
No, I'm talking about those teams in a seven-game series.
Yeah.
Prime against prime.
Prime against prime.
Yeah, we're not being assholes here.
No. I for a second I thought you meant, do you think they could still play?
No.
Oh, okay. I think they're faster and they're bigger, and I think that today, and I definitely think that Kelly Rudy, he wouldn't stop anything of today.
Really?
If you put Quick on that team, I think they might have a chance. Well, but not with Kelly Rudy.
You don't think so, really?
No, I think just look at the goaltenders. Look at the way the goaltenders. You ever see, like, even in the
Kelly
old.
Kelly Rudy went head to head with Patrick Waugh in a Stanley Cup finals. Patrick Waugh wouldn't be able to do what Jonathan Quick does today.
I agree with that.
I think they're all the same players.
But
it's just equipment.
But he lost.
Okay.
I'm not trying to be a dick. I mean, he lost.
I'm just saying it's the biggest difference is the equipment. That's the biggest.
But you don't think like Anze Kopitar has way more skill than like Bill Berg did. than the guys from the.
You're comparing a star to like a role player. You got to compare Anze Kopitar to I don't know whose game compares, but
okay, well,
Mark Messier or somebody big that could drive to the net and score.
Well, let's put it this way: every time back in the day,
Kopitar's like, a special player.
But every time, like back in the day, Lemieux or Yzerman or Gretzky was on a breakaway, they scored. There was never like, oh, he's not going to score. Today's goalies, look at the shootouts. I mean, it's like 50.
But you don't think Gretzky can still score on these guys? I definitely think he could.
I think he, well, that, yeah, I mean, he could, but it's not like the guys today would come down and just easily beat Kelly Rudy, what I'm saying.
Equipment is the main difference, and nowhere does it make more of a difference than with goaltenders.
Yeah,
their shoulders are
pads.
Coming. Their shoulders are coming up this high. Their sticks are way lighter. Their leggings are way bigger and lighter. Everything's bigger and lighter and better at blocking a puck.
But I think everything changed after Patrick Waugh. The butterfly, all those guys, Brodeur, all those guys, they play gold. Hasek, they play gold. Goaltending has so much improved in the last.
I'm saying equipment has had most to do with that. Do you remember when?
I'm not arguing that it has nothing to do with it. I'm just saying that it's improved.
Okay, here's a question for you, info trap. When was the first goaltender to win the Conn Smythe? And I would love to see how many goalies have won the Conn Smythe comparatively over the last decade to the two decades prior to that. Because I don't know the answer to that question. Jaguar won it for the Ducks, right?
In like a losing cause.
No, they won when they won the cup.
Oh, they won.
Jaguar won it, right?
Yeah. Right. Someone won it recently, though, in the last like 15 years in a losing cause. I can't think of who it was, though.
Maybe Hasek for Buffalo?
That might have been when the Ducks lost to I think when the Ducks lost to the Devils, I think their goal, I think Jaguar, or not the Jaguar, who was the other guy that yeah, now I do look that.
It's the first time I've seen you stopped.
Hey,
write that down.
That's a very good one.
Stop the show. There you
go. I think their goaltender.
That's a
won,
first.
I think their goaltender won the Conn Smythe. I think.
I love taking credit for not knowing. Like, I'm asking questions I don't know.
No, I stopped him. It's impossible.
I think
to stop
when
him.
The Devils won their cup against Anaheim, I think Anaheim's goaltender won.
I just think nowadays, if a goalie gets hot. You know, with the exception of like Antti Niemi, who started out that first cup for the Blackhawks, he was brutal, and they should have lost that first series against whoever it was. I can't even remember who they almost lost to in that first series. But with the exception of that, the teams that make a run to the Western Conference Finals and through to the Stanley Cup and Eastern Conference Finals through to the Stanley Cup have a hot goalie. They have a hot goalie. It's like the Bruins last year, but
just real quick to get back to the point about who. I mean, when you think about how big McSorley was, and everyone loves Marty back, you know, now a lot of the Kings that don't even fight are just as big as McSorley.
Yeah, but they're not going to want to take him on.
No, I know that. But I'm just saying, like, that's how big the players are, and the speed of the game has changed. I'm not saying that Gretzky and Jari Kurri and Robitaille can't play just as good, but it's, you know, their second, third, and fourth lines down.
I don't know. I think you give Tony Granato a pair of really sharp, extra lightweight, best, nicest skates in the world. Do you skate that much?
You've seen me skate.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying.
That's not going to help.
I don't even have the nicest.
Now he's sticking me.
I'm sorry.
That was a butt end.
I don't even have the nicest skates that I could buy. Like, I just bought like the middle of the road Bowers. You know, like I got the five thousands, but they used to be thousands. Now they're just numbers, and I don't know. And there's like one, two, three skates above the skates that I bought. The skates that I have are nicer than any skate I've ever owned in my life by far. They are so nice, they're so light, they're still stiff. I've owned them for 2 years. They're like perfect.
And what does that do for
equipment.
Your skating?
It just gives you more torque, it gives you more jump, it gives you more bounce,
so you can
you
skate
can
a lot
stop,
better
you can
right
cut yeah. faster it's yeah. There's no comparison. I went home and played for 2 weeks. I went back to Wisconsin over the holidays and I played a bunch of outdoor ice there, and I put on my old skates, and it was like stepping into sandals. It was the difference between basketball shoes and sandals.
Wow.
I mean, I had broken those.
I like those new CCM sandals.
they lace up really easily.
I don't know. I think equipment has a lot to do with it.
I would agree. I was reading a thing about Sawchek because, you know, I'm an old Red Wings fan. So I was reading about him. Now, I know the goaltending is completely different now and everything. And I'm sure it is much better. And I'm sure a lot of it does have to do with equipment. But they said he was one of the most acrobatic, athletic goalies ever. And that was way back in the 50s.
Well, they used to be a lot about athletics. They used to be about making the crazy saves. Mm-hmm. Now there's so much more coaching involved in your angles and the technique and cutting off this and cutting off that and swirling, how to play with the puck and, you know, everything that they teach. Before it was like a field goal kicker. The coaches, they didn't know how to – the goalie was just like, yeah, he's a crazy guy back there in the net. Like, let him stop the puck and we're going to worry about everyone that skates. Now they have their own coaches.
But like Nate was saying, what if you take a guy like that who's got that athletic ability and give him the new pads?
Right, he becomes Marc-Andre Fleury.
Yeah, lights
and
out.
You just worry yeah. about, you know, when his head loses. You know, it's but you know what, though? This is how old Canada and how everything goes back to how hockey is like prehistoric in their thinking. Most teams and most goalie coaches, most of, you know, probably all the Don Cherries of the world would rather have an unathletic goalie who doesn't go out and play the puck and do crazy things like Fleury.
Right.
Or anytime you have one like Hasek, he does all these crazy, they more saves with his back of his head, and they'd rather have a guy that doesn't move very much and plays his angles.
Uh-huh.
That's how conservative hockey coaches are in general.
Right.
Would you agree with me?
Well, they always said that they wanted that's like the old adage is that the goalie should be the best skater on the team. I don't know why, but
did they always say that?
Yeah, it was a goalie should be the best skater on the team, you know, and I'm just assuming that because they have to skate around in goalie skates with 50-pound leggings on each leg, but so it made sense to me. I never questioned it, but I mean, I'm sure that you know, that that you want a guy to be able to play the puck, but you don't want him to play the puck. You right. know, you want it to be able, you want to be able to get to the bench fast and get, you know, whatever. I mean, I'm sure, you know.
Yeah, I never understood that either, though, actually. Like, he has to be the best skater. It seems like he could be the worst skater and you'd be all right.
Well, probably.
Maybe, right? Yeah. I mean, this one
he could just fall down at the right time and stop the puck.
Yeah, I mean, you can play in, I mean,
they showed a thing,
tennis shoes if you were that good.
The other night they were showing a thing about the first mask. And I don't know if it was Johnny Bauer, was that what it was, for the Leafs? Whoever had the first mask. And it was the weirdest looking. It looked like something from a bad horror movie.
Yeah.
Just, I'd never seen something so weird.
It wasn't even like the Jason mask. It wasn't like
wasn't as good as Jason.
Into the 50s. It was like a paneled strap on. Like,
yeah, Jason was an upgrade.
Right. Yeah, right, it was Jacques Plante from the Canadiens.
Was it Jacques Plante?
Yeah, from the Canadiens. And they actually were, they wanted the coach back, wanted to trade him because he thought he was being a puss.
Did he
for
really?
For wearing a mask. Yeah, he hated it.
Well, like, that mask
the coach
was
literally
ugly.
Hated it. Like, literally, it was like, they tried to burn down Montreal when they suspended, you know, Rocket Richard.
So, yeah.
I mean, it's like, you know, he was like, oh, he's a girl. Get him out of here. And, you know, they didn't want any part of one
well,
of the
you stand there with Bobby
best...
Hull's cranking one off from with that curve stick.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, well, think about it. I mean, you know, Eddie Johnson, the Penguins overseer, old man, GM guy who was Bobby Orr's best friend. Remember Burr was talking about him?
Yeah.
Hanging out. I mean, he played every game in like 71, 72 as a goalie without a mask.
It's pretty amazing.
I mean, that's like, you know, that's not black and white television. That's not like horse-drawn carriage.
I'm amazed.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, that's
and pretty stupid.
There's my point right now. If a goalie tried to do that now, they would kill him with backhands.
Oh yeah, you'd be dead.
Like that's the difference between this.
Oh, you would. Well, that was the old days. You know, literally, even when they were still wearing just the Jason shield, was the guy you'd just whip one up at his head,
right?
Just to shake him up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, and now maybe I remember before they had
that was Bobby Hull's.
Bobby Hull's. Were talking, you know, they changed the stick, but now they even wear the contraption to protect their neck.
Yeah, yeah.
They used to go after a guy's Adam's apple to shake him.
Well, we were talking about last week. You probably know about this, Nate. Is what does a puck do with a really curved stick? Does it rises? Both or what?
It comes right off. It goes up. From my experience, it goes up. If I don't know. I never really liked any of those big curves like that. Some people would play with like what's called a heel curve, where it just bends right towards the shaft of the stick, and then it just kind of flattens out like that, as opposed to like a curve like that. I never really liked a big too monster of a curve. I just liked a nice steady.
Well, my era was Hull and Howe. And that's how old I am. But anyway, I
original six, the captain.
That's it. OG
Frazier.
And when
Brett Hull plays with the heel curve, or he did at least the sticks that had his name on him at the pro shop. that was like the biggest, nastiest heel curve.
Bobby was the one who first started customizing his own with the blowtorch and doing the whole deal, and they had to regulate it right at some point.
Yeah.
But that's what got guys to start really wearing masks. I think was across the league was that Hull had such an insane shot.
Oh yeah,
100+.
Yep.
And then it was doing whatever it does, dip or rise, right. And it was just killing guys.
Even knuckleball. I mean, it's dangerous.
Yeah.
I mean, just, you know, it's what can you say? Love it. Well, getting back to let's talk a little up-to-date stuff, if you don't mind.
Well, I had one observation, and Frazier
brought it back to
Dodger Stadium. This is one observation that I have. This is why one thing that I think is a real benefit of these big stadium games that I think maybe they could find some way to emphasize more. I love the sight lines may be bad when you're there. I haven't been to one yet, but I like how they kind of got to draw. The cameras are way up top.
Right.
Like the cameras are way up top. So you draw in and you see, because they kind of want to show the stadium and they show it. And so you get to see from a distance a hockey game going on, and you get a better concept. Like, I think now, as hockey's seen on TV, why it maybe doesn't have as many fans as it could, and why when you go to a game and when you take somebody to a hockey game for the first time, they're like, oh my God, this is so fast. This is the coolest thing I've ever seen. Is because two-dimensionally, when people are watching hockey on a TV screen, it looks like basketball.
Right.
But the thing is that it's three basketball courts. You know what I mean? So, like, people don't get any concept for for how fast it is. They just know it's the same as basketball, and there's only six goals a game. Why? You know, like, so they just don't pay as enough. They don't. What I'm saying is the speed doesn't translate. But that's what's nice about when you see these big stadium games. You kind of draw in. You see the hockey game. They have the overhead, like the pulley system camera that they need to do a lot more of that. And I don't think they can do it maybe as well indoors, or they just don't do it as much as they should have. They should have a camera over the game a lot more.
That's a good point.
Because you just don't see it. They need to change the presentation of hockey. I mean, I'm coming from the standpoint that more people would and should like hockey. I think it's just such a good game that's never been.
Well, they've always said it didn't translate as well on TV.
Right.
Here's an interesting, I just heard this today, breaking news. The Harris poll, there's a Harris poll, it's like a famous poll. You probably know, Fraser.
Yeah.
It's a Harris poll. It's like a CNN thing. It's famous. Yeah. So I guess football is 35% of the country says NFL football is their favorite sport. Like 20% of the country says Major League Baseball is their favorite sport.
I don't know how.
Now third, there's a lot in Nebraska. Yeah. There's a lot of
New York.
Yeah, there's a lot of boring people.
A lot of Yankee fans.
Yeah. Third is college football. I forget. I think college football is like 15% or something, 20%. And then fourth is auto racing, whatever. Fifth is the NBA with 6 points, 6%. And then next is hockey with 5 points. So hockey's not really that far behind. Football is just that big because basically college football is professional football. So then professional football is really like at about 55% or whatever.
Well, you know this guy, J.J. Watt for the Houston Texans?
Yeah, yes.
Went to Wisconsin.
A great player. And I was watching the Pro Bowl yesterday, and they were interviewing him. And the interviewer goes, "You're a big hockey fan." And he goes, "I love hockey. I can't wait for the Olympic hockey." And he goes, "I love the USA team." He knew all the players on the team and everything. And he was just basically saying, "Hey, I'm a big hockey fan." And then he also said, "I love curling." I couldn't tell if he was kidding about that. But he goes, "But I mean, a guy like that's out there hyping." He goes, "I can't wait for it."
Yeah.
See, I think that's great to see a football player propping the hockey.
Yeah, I mean, we've discussed it so many times. I mean, ESPN just wants to throw in everyone's – they got pissed because Bettman said, "We're not dealing with you anymore." And then so ESPN wants to push hockey down.
Right.
And that's why it's pushed down. So, you know, in most parts of the country, that's all they get. You know, that's all you get. But I don't know how much more – if people don't – other than putting a camera on Crosby's head –
not a bad idea.
I don't know how much more that they can.
I could tell you. I got a rule change that I've.
Oh, here
we go.
Yeah,
what's going on?
We need a drum roll, please.
I think, and I sincerely, I really do mean this. I want to keep the neutral zone edge of the blue line, the inside of the blue line. I want to keep that right where it is.
Yes.
Okay. The edge of the blue line that's closer to the nets. I want to move that in about a foot and a half to 2 feet. In other words, I want to make the blue line about 3 or 4 feet wide, so that it's players without the puck can get that much closer to the net.
I see what you're
saying. But the offensive zone stays the same size. So it's still just as hard to clear the zone once the puck's in the zone. But as an offensive player, you can get to that much closer to the net without the puck.
Does that
it creates more scoring. I think it creates more rushes.
More of a fast break effect.
Fast break effect. You get much more. You get these the quicker players in the league become way more valuable. You know, like I can't think of anything, but like a Steve Sullivan, you know, from a couple years ago. Like, you know, that's a small guy.
Right.
And was really good anyway. He could walk around, you know, monster defenseman. But like you give that guy an extra step to the net, you know, and you put those players a little bit closer. I think goals per game goes up two to five goals a game.
And you think that's something that would improve the viewership?
Absolutely.
More goals?
Absolutely. Yeah. If you're a hockey fan and it's a big game, it's game six or seven of the Eastern Conference Finals, you have a bunch of people over to your house and half of them aren't even hockey fans. If there's five more goals in the game, that's just five more times everybody goes nuts and it's a lead change or this or that. I mean, that's just a more exciting experience, and I don't think it really changes the integrity of the game at all. All I think is that it does make a certain type of player more valuable than currently.
It favors the speed guys.
Speed guys, and I'm all about speed. I said before, I think that the speed doesn't translate on TV. Any way to do that, is the best way to sell the sport because it's the fastest sport on the planet.
And also upping the goals, which you feel that there needs to be more offense for the
there should be more offense.
Fan to get
there should
more
be more offense. There should be more, you know, there should every when you're at a game, a hockey game in a at Staples Center and somebody comes down and they get a wide open shot from the slot, the whole arena takes a breath at the same time.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, the, that's what you need more of. You need more of that. You need more guys getting open one
time. Well, that's
time.
Always but the knock on soccer, for example, is that, you know, you've got a 90-minute game and there's one goal.
Right, and soccer purists love it, and it's the rhythm to it, and there's the whole kind of din of like an arena, and I get that.
But it doesn't create new fans necessarily.
I get it, yeah. I mean, and I like look, I like hockey how it is. I also think I would like it that way. I think it would be cooler and more accessible to people who like a faster, more and higher scoring sport.
But I think that they could easily, not easily, I think they, I like your idea on the blue lines completely, but they're trying to get, they're trying to have less people have a speed jump from crushing defensemen. Like that's, they don't, that's why they got the icing. The new icing rules are in effect.
Yeah.
Because they don't want someone having that much speed and getting closer to the boards to crush somebody.
Well, no, you can. I mean, that'll get you up into the slot. That'll get you into the middle of the ice as well. Or around a defenseman. If you're getting past a defenseman without the puck, I think that just gives you more space as a forward.
I think clutching and grabbing, not so much clutching, the interference that they took out in the first year after the major the strike or lock, whatever you want to say, that's come back in, and they've let it come back in because they defensemen, they want the secondary defense partner to come over and chip the guy so he doesn't drill someone into the boards, so they're letting that happen, and that is crept back in, and that has kept scoring much more down than it used to be.
Clutch and grab.
People are always in Crosby and Malkin's, just from what I mean, you know how many all that would bring scoring back at least a goal aside.
I also liked, I don't know whatever happened to the mandatory penalty idea. Like the 2 minutes, like you don't get out of, like the penalty's 2 minutes mandatory. Scoring, power play goal or not.
Right.
I don't know why that went away. That sounds like a great idea.
Yeah.
Like if you get, because then they could maybe let them get away with some of the chippies. But when you do get a penalty,
you're in.
And it's 2 minutes.
But see, but I don't like that, though, because I like 5-on-5 play. I'm not a big power play.
Exciting. Power plays are exciting, and it gets your skill players on the ice.
Let me ask you something, guys. Who had the best power play of all time?
Oh, I don't even know.
You can get back to me on that, by the way.
I mean, of all.
You should know.
You know,
late 90s Red Wing power play was pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd have to look at statistics.
All the best teams. I mean, you know, the old Oilers. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Yeah.
the old Penguins. The Lemieux Penguins.
Oh, man.
Whenever you have a guy that can sit in his office. This year, I think the Penguins this year are clipping at like 25%. That's really good.
That's 25
really good. Yeah, 25 is really good.
Every fourth penalty you're scoring a goal. That's really good.
That's pretty good.
But even some things you don't think about, even like, you know, like the old St. Louis Blues of just Adam Oates and Brett Hull.
Uh huh.
You know, you just need the guy that can pass and the guy that can find the open seam. I mean, that's what made the Red Wings so special was like when they got Shanny. Then you had Yzerman, Fedorov, Shanahan, and then you had like someone like. Cicerelli was a little bit early before that, but who, like some big guy in the front, who I can't think of his name, number 20 now, just taking a beating in front of the net so Shanny could just find a little pocket and score.
Yeah.
You know, that's what the Penguins have Kunitz now. You need some guy that can sit there and take a beating. If you have two other guys that can pass it around, Edmonton, though, they had Paul Coffey era.
Oh, I love Paul Coffey.
I mean, that's like when the Penguins, before they traded him, like they had Coffey for a while. You know, a great power play is a guy in front taking a beating, a guy that can, you know, I mean, Lemieux, Gretzky, someone of that ilk, and then a guy that has a big shot from the point.
With nice hands. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, they can just re-wheel and deal.
Brian Leetch.
Now, this is completely changing the subject, but something that really I thought was awesome was and that Dodger Stadium game. Here I go back to Dodger Stadium.
Bring it back.
It's Vinny, the great Vin Scully, and Bob Miller, the great Kings announcer, talking together. before the game. They have him on camera. Yeah. Two of the best announcers ever. You know, everybody knows Vinny's the best, but how many people know Bob Miller's one of the best ever, too?
Yeah, I was really happy for Bob Miller. Because like I said, I watch every
Vinny
game.
Vinny respects him, you can tell.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was just happy for Bob Miller to get his due.
Yeah,
you know, he deserves
he's awesome.
He's awesome. Especially because, I watch every game. You know how many announcers are terrible around the league? I mean, terrible.
Yeah.
Really? Are they? Yeah.
What do you got, the package, and then they give you all the home feeds?
You get every feed you want. Oh, that's the only ones you don't get are like the Canadian feed of if – sometimes you don't get the Canadian feed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I live for the – I love the pack.
Do you watch it in French – if it was French-Canadian, would you watch it?
You got to have a special connection for the Canadian
feed. Yeah, you need an SAP button.
I would watch the French one because sometimes –
then it comes out in Spanish. Wait a minute.
Sometimes the announcers give me a head – like. Half the time I watch most games with just music on that makes my wife happier. Like I'll just play music in the background. I know who's who. I know where the puck's going. I don't need someone to tell me. But some announcers I do like more than others. I mean, I do like. Like some people hate the guy in Buffalo, Rick Dejeuner. And he's crazy. But he's always a fun crazy. Yeah, I always had a soft spot for Buffalo. That's why I have a soft spot for the Dallas Stars now. You know, they kicked our ass on Saturday 3-0. Because now look at Buffalo. They're 25 points out of a playoff spot. When Lindy Ruff was there, they had no talent, and they were always winning playoff series. Like, that's how good of a coach he was.
So a good coach can make a big difference.
I think so. Look at the Kings. We're going nowhere. Sutter shows up. Boom.
Stanley
they win
Cup.
The cup. Huh? You know? It makes a big difference in hockey.
Who do you think's the best coach now?
I think Quinville's a good coach in Chicago. I think Lindy Ruff is a great coach. I think if Lindy Ruff ever if Lindy Ruff was the Penguins coach, they'd have another Stanley Cup.
I like Torts because he tried to go in the other guy's dressing room. Regulate.
That's pretty great.
That was one.
Yeah, I like Torts for a season. Like, you know, season and a half maybe. Yeah. But I think he grinds on players after that.
But the best coach you would say right now is who?
Either Quinville or Lindy Ruff.
How about the Red Wings?
You've heard me say I like him, but I don't think he's done that great of a job this year. I mean, they've had some injuries, but I think.
I don't even know who is the coach of the Red Wings.
Oh,
Babcock.
Babcock, yeah, Mike Babcock. Yeah, you know, I've usually on this show I call him the best coach in hockey, but yeah. I think this year he's had a down year because I mean he hasn't had that many. I mean, the Penguins have had way more injuries than he's had, and I don't think he's. I think he's screwing around with that team a little bit.
They're not doing so great right now.
Well,
but
yeah.
Then they, you know.
But they're hanging in there.
They're hanging in there.
The one thing that really helped us, though, I mean, Babcock's only mistake I can completely pinpoint is when he, for some reason, he took Albuquerque, when the Penguins were in the second year when we played them, when we won the cup, he took, you guys were up like 3-1 or 2-1, and he started sitting Albuquerque. Who was a rookie and was just killing us physically and scoring goals. And you put him on the bench for the one guy that got his head plastered in by Lemieux.
Draper.
But by then, Draper, you know, was 40 years old. He wasn't fast at all. And then every game Draper played, we won. Every game Albuquerque played, we lost.
Yeah.
And remember that series?
He was scoring highlight goals.
Yeah. And he was just he's a young kid. You can't. All these hockey guys, they all want, we're bringing the veterans in. We want a veteran presence. But it's young guys that score big goals and bring energy to playoff series.
They got
series.
The energy.
Yeah. But Babcock is always will always be in the top five coaches in the league.
Why can a good coach make a big difference? Let's say you don't have that much talent. How does he turn a team around? How does he make them better?
I'm not going to say it's like Vince Lombardi and Bear Bryant, but, you know, you get them all to believe.
You run the right system for your talent. For it's what skill sets you got in front of you, you know. If you don't got those speed players, then you run the right forecheck and you run the right defensive zone whatever you're running. And then and the same goes for if you do got speed and you're a little bit light in the ass.
I coached a junior high team, and my secret was getting a ringer.
There you go.
Because he needed a ride to the rink.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was my system.
Go grab you a high school sophomore. Yeah.
This guy was held back three grades, and he was huge.
Right. Frazier's dealing dirty in seventh grade
that's,
hockey.
That's the ultimate.
It's the best. Yeah, it's the best.
Yeah. Get a ringer. Well, that's okay. So now, where are we standing right now? The East top team is your team, the Pens.
The Penguins. I'm running scared, Frazier. I'm running scared.
Why are they starting? What do you think?
I think that for the first time in the Ray Shero era, I don't think he's doing a great job as a GM. I think Orpik is past his prime as a top four defenseman, and I think Letang is so overrated now and so in his head that I think that we're never going to win a cup if he's in our top four.
And what do you got to do? Some trades?
I think Letang should go in a big package.
Uh-oh.
to get back a scoring winger, a almost star scoring winger, and a couple guys that can pound the body on the third and fourth lines. Because I think the fact is, I think we're like 30-4 when Letang doesn't play, and we're like 14-10 when he does play. He's just a turnover machine, and it's one of those things where just, you know, if he's out there making mistakes, it bleeds into everything. And I just think he needs to go. I loved him when he was a rookie. I still love him. I'll feel bad when he goes. But you know what? I want to win a cup.
What do you think the East chances are this year?
I think
West
we're not going
to dominate.
I think we're not going to beat Boston with what we got going. I think we're better than every team by far except Boston.
And what about in the West? How would you do against the West top teams?
I think we would lose against the top four or five teams because of that reason.
Points wise, it bears that out because right now the top three teams in the West are ahead on points of the Pens.
Yeah, I mean, but if you look at it though, like Anaheim, all the California teams and Chicago and St. Louis, they all run four lines. And as much as I think St. Louis will fold, I mean, the bottom line is I think Chicago, Anaheim, and L.A. and probably the Sharks are better than us. They're better than us the way, as constructed. Now, is Crosby and Malkin and can they always put on a clinic and outscore teams? They can. They have. We have whatever, 70-some points this year. But in a seven-game series, when you have to have four lines that all contribute, we got two.
I love Evgeny Malkin, but he never seems to put up in big games. I always want to watch him.
Well, he won a Conn Smythe. I mean, he's put up in a few big games.
Did he? Right.
not to be a jerk, but I mean, he did win.
I love his game.
Yeah.
Like, there's no, if I'm going to show somebody hockey highlights, I go watch Evgeny Malkin highlights on YouTube.
No, I know. He's my favorite. Even over City, he's my favorite. And he has mental lapses that are terrible, too. He's like Letang, but I'm not getting rid of Malkin. But it's the same thing, though. He makes stupid plays, but also, Malkin makes so many great plays that you can live with the stupid. And believe me, if he didn't have that Conn Smythe, I would be like, maybe he has to go. Yeah. But when you win a Conn Smythe, you're like, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Let me ask some. How good is Anaheim?
They're very good. But if you read my column I wrote a couple of weeks ago, that
21,
I think
1-2 at home. Wow.
I still think the Kings beat them in the 7-game series.
Do you really?
Yeah, I do.
Do you really? Wow.
Because I think they're bigger. I think they're stronger, and I think they're going to make a trade and get one more winger.
So if they get some more scoring, you think they'd beat him in a 7-game series?
Yeah, because you got to remember Barbecue Bruce Boudreau, their coach, has never won a big series ever.
Does this happen too? I think a lot of times teams peak during the regular season a little too much, and then they hit. Now the Blackhawks didn't do that. They look good.
I'm not trying to be a homer here, but I don't think anybody touches, and barring injury, that nucleus, they've managed to keep that core of players. I mean, that's a big core of players to keep in one place. And Jonathan Toews is the best player I've seen
in a long time. He's good.
That is the truth. That's the truth. I've sat here many a time and said the Chicago Blackhawks did it right. It's like every other team in the new post-lockout era, they've had great teams. Like the Final Four last year, there were four great teams. But what team won it twice? Chicago. You know why? They kept their six or seven best players.
Yeah, they didn't.
And the rest,
guys,
they said, you know what? We'll find some new ones that are hungrier.
Yeah.
Instead of the old get along gang. And she, I mean, yeah. And that's funny because we were behind the scenes, we have a little cheat sheet I send out to Frage and our guests. Maybe things we might talk about, trying to find Chicago's weakness. I couldn't think of something that they need.
They don't have.
Remember, I said, yeah they just need to stay focused. Yeah.
All their role players fit in, and I mean, what a fun team to be a role player on. I mean, what's their one free agent in that whole nucleus? Is what, Hossa?
Yeah.
Everybody else is drafted: Seabrook, Keith,
yeah,
Taves,
and they've kept them all.
They kept them all.
Duncan, Keith,
yeah.
They're. I mean, you know who else is really very underrated? Is Chalmerson's a great defenseman.
They got a full roster of studs. Right?
They do.
A really good.
They got the Pittsburgh kid, Saad.
And in the middle of it all, I think Taves is underrated. He's so quick, and he's got such supreme balance. He makes it look really easy.
I think Taves is by far a top five player in the league, and I think the best captain in hockey. Every time I sit here though and say, yeah, you know, Taves just as good as Crosby, then you watch Crosby for a week and it's like, you know what, Crosby's just sick.
Look,
he's still leading in points.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I mean, like, yeah. I think Sid takes some bad penalties, and I think Sid does a few things I don't like because I watch him I watch his practice videos, so I've seen everything. But Taves is amazing.
Yeah.
Taves is amazing.
Great. If he has to walk around somebody, he does, and you're like, whoa.
Yeah, he's pretty amazing.
I'll tell you who else is a little underrated, but he's a great one. He's going to be a great – is Jonathan Tavares for the Islanders. He made a move this week on – the Penguins ate up the Islanders. I mean, it was closer. The score was close, but they outclassed them every time they needed a goal, like either Gino or Sid. That's the thing. This year, as opposed to some other years, every time something needs done, Sid and Gino just do it. So the Penguins look really good because their two best players just take over. But Tavares walked around – Crosby like Steve Byrne walks around me. Yeah. And you never see someone do
We've
that
got
to
that
Crosby
on film too.
Yeah. you never see that done to Crosby.
Now, did you see Ovechkin's goal, the one they kept showing on the highlights? I know they don't really like to show a lot of hockey highlights, but where he was like he kept popping the puck up in the air and then put it in?
What night was that?
It was Saturday night, I think.
Okay, I must have.
Unbelievable.
Oh, he's awesome. But like I wrote a column about that too. And Nate can speak to this. He's a winger. So he's never going to be as important as a center. You know what I mean? Like to put him in the top five, it's like he's an amazing player. I love watching him play. But he's not one of the five best players in the league.
You don't think so, really?
I think he might be the number one most exciting player in the league, but he gets most of his points on a power play too.
Who are your top five? Sid Crosby,
number one.
To me, my top five would be Crosby, Malkin, Taves, Tavares, and Getzlaf.
Nah, that's pretty good.
I don't have a top five. I don't watch enough hockey. I'll wind up embarrassing myself like I did with the Evgeny Malkin comment.
No, I wasn't trying. No, I mean, like, I agree. I mean, hey, it's on record. He stunk last year in the playoffs. So did Crosby.
And in my defense,
you know, I mean,
in my defense, it was a quiet Conn Smythe.
Yeah, it was the NBC shut the camera. They were already back in the studio when they gave him the trophy. I wasn't trying to.
No, I don't have a top five. I just don't watch enough hockey. I should watch more. But I mean, I have favorite players. I love Pavel Datsyuk.
I love him.
Datsyuk would be in the next five. No, I mean my thing with you know. If it's not a power play, Ovechkin's either cherry picking or he's angry and out zeroing in on somebody, which just takes him completely out of the play all the time. Like his hits are amazing, but they're never in the context of he's helping
flow.
Anything.
Yeah,
he's not a two. You're saying he's not a two way player?
Yeah, he's a yeah, exactly.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah,
that's what the high school coaches used to harp on,
mm-hmm.
Right?
I mean that's the thing is like yeah. When you check, you want to check. He's like headhunting, you know. He's like behind the play, hitting someone who's not looking. Yeah. You know, I mean, but I like. I'm not against Ovechkin. I love Ovechkin. To me, it's like I think he's. I love watching the yellow skates. I think he's fun. I mean, but he's not one of the. You know, he's not one of the best players. I mean, he's. You know, he's just not. I mean, he's one of the best players.
I think
he's
got to change the rules to make sure he is one of the best players.
Yeah, there you go. That wide and blue line.
Yeah,
wide. There you go. Wide and the blue. Make the nets bigger.
Push that neutral zone towards the net.
Who's my pick? Number one player in the league?
Ben Scrivens.
Yeah, Ben. The professor. He's up there.
We're going to get you an admit. I know. I wonder if his wife is still here.
No, she texted me. I hate this place. How do you get out of this mall? She's going to find her way out of that giant mall.
Did you hear about that? Uh-uh. They made all the news all around Canada because I guess they found his wife like twittered like, I can't believe we got traded to Edmonton. Like, this sucks. I'm paraphrasing. So, you know, hockey is like the NFL up there. So they made the biggest deal. Like, she doesn't want to leave LA to come to Edmonton. Like, of course she doesn't.
Who can blame her? That shows me that she's a very smart woman.
Yeah, it shows me that she must love her husband, too.
Because yeah,
my wife would leave me. We're going to Edmonton.
No way.
No, I'm not.
That's funny. Well, guys, I think is it almost?
Wow. Yeah, we're going to have Nate back when the Blackhawks and the Penguins meet in the finals.
Nate's an awesome guest.
Yeah, isn't he great?
Thanks for having me.
We wanted you a bunch, you know? We wanted to have all you right. a bunch.
And he can actually play hockey.
I know. Well, geez.
Are you still in the league? Are you still playing?
No, I play pickup. I just, you know, I'm traveling and stuff. It doesn't really – I can't justify signing up for a league that you know, wind up paying $500 for a season and miss half the game.
But you still play pickup.
Pickup, yeah. I used to play Sunday nights for sure over at Culver. That rink's going to shut down now, so I don't know. I'll find a new skate. I usually like to play at least once a week, you know.
Uh-huh.
But, you know,
cool. He's on my pickup basketball. He's on my comedy basketball team.
Oh, how's that team doing?
He plays basketball. He plays hockey.
Oh, okay.
He's intense.
I like to
don't go in the corners with him.
Oh yeah,
I like to make a scene on the basketball court.
All right, Nate.
He's the Ovechkin of comedy basketball. High scoring, high impact. Huh? Yeah.
No defense.
He plays defense.
Way to run him, Nate.
No, we have fun. Nate's a great guy. Look, I'm glad you finally came down.
It was a wonderful guest.
An honor to be here. Thanks, guys,
for joining us. And Joe, once again, you're awesome.
You're the
machine.
it was Stump Bartnick, and he did it.
It finally happened.
He did it. Nate got one past the goalie.
I never thought it would happen.
All right. Oh, I want to thank the captain from the original six, Frazier Smith here.
Represent.
Great job as always.
All right, guys.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks for listening to Puck Off.
Thanks.
Have a great week.
Thanks, guys.